Hello everybody and welcome back to Nailing It the Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. If you're new here and you don't know who I am, my name is Olivia. I'm a fully qualified nail technician and I have been for around 2 years now. I am self-employed and I have my own home salon. And as you can probably guess, I'm obsessed with all things nails. So if you are too, you've definitely found the right place and I would love for you to stick around. This is the sixth episode. So if you are new here, there is a few episodes for you to go back and catch up on if you want to. But today's episode is very exciting because we have our first ever guest on the podcast. So I am joined by the gorgeous Lauren from O Nails by Lauren. That's right, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
So would you like to tell everyone a little bit about yourself, Lauren?
Yeah, absolutely. So hi, my name's Lauren. I am a fairly newly qualified nail tech. I have been qualified since January, but I only really started taking on clients in April. I had a bit of a period where I was doing a couple other things and also doing model appointments, practicing, that kind of thing. And yeah, I'm obsessed with all things nails. It's quite a new thing for me, but I'm sure that's something that we're going to get into, so I'm not going to say too much about that.
No, yeah. But it's like the nail world is really like you get stuck in it, don't you? Like once you're in it, you're obsessed and it like takes over your life. Like I'm sure you can relate. I'm sure you can relate, but my camera roll is just like nails.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, oh, what did I do that month? And it's like nails. Yeah. Maybe a photo of me, photo of my dog, then nails.
Yeah, literally. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Of course. So we actually met at the HONA event a couple months ago. So that was actually 2 months ago yesterday.
Oh, can you believe that?
I know. That's so scary.
Like, it feels like longer ago for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I get that sometimes where things feel like they were just 2 minutes ago, but also it feels like it was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, we've chatted a little bit like over Instagram, haven't we? But it's nice to have like a really good natter. So anyway, today's episode is going to be all about the good, the bad and the ugly. By the way, I can't take credit for that title. That was Lauren's idea, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But we're going to be talking about all like the realities of being a nail technician. And I think we've both got like a pretty good point of view. Like you're a fairly new qualified nail technician. So you've got a slightly different point of view to me. I mean, I'm still new as well, but I've been going a little bit longer than you. But before we get into that, I do just have a quick question for how to nail it. And there's not an Instagram handle, but it just comes from Sarah, and she asked what are my favorite colors from HONA for summer. So it's a really easy one for us to answer. So I know that you obviously use HONA as well, so if you want to go first, do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, I might actually have to have a look, to be honest. There's so many that I'm just like, oh, if I was to pick my absolute favourite. So from the Rodeo Nights event,
yeah,
Rodeo is one of my absolute favourites.
That's one of mine as well. It's so good.
I don't know if I should maybe just like...
Yeah, it matches your wall.
It does, yeah, it matches the wall. Another one that I absolutely am obsessed with, Stormy. So obsessed.
Yes, so good.
Dolly's really far up there, so I'm not going to do that. But Dolly is another one from the Rodeo Nights.
Yeah.
So vibrant. And I would have said this was a spring colour, but actually I think it does kind of go into summer as well. It's another blue, but Dew is one that my clients use all the time.
Dew, do I have that one? What's that? What colour is that?
This colour here.
Oh my god, I don't have that.
Oh, it's one of my absolute favourites. It's so good. It's probably actually my most used out of all of my colours.
Really?
Especially for a blocked colour. Yeah, absolutely. And it, yeah, like Stormy, it's a wee bit, obviously like a wee bit cooler.
Yeah, it looks like it looks in between Cenote and Stormy. I don't know if you've got Cenote, but it looks like sort of an in-between.
No, but it's honestly one of my favourites. So yeah, I do quite like kind of purpley blue colours, but I do like Dolly. It's a stunner. Love it.
Yeah. Love them recommendations. What are mine? Oh, there's so many. I like Mandarin. That's been like a solid orange that I've been using recently. What else? definitely Rodeo from the Rodeo Nights collection, and Sunset Ridge is a good one as well, but that's another orange, so maybe we'll do a different one. Pinata. Yeah, love Pinata. Pinata is like the most perfect pink. It's not too light, not too dark. I love it. So yeah, there are recommendations.
Yeah, that was a good few.
Yeah. Go and have fun spending your money. Thank you for asking your question, Sarah. And remember, if you want to submit a question for How to Nail It, you can do so via email, and my email address is novalinails@gmail.com. Now, so before we actually get into the topic of the episode, I thought it'd be really great if the listeners could get to know you a little bit more. And I've got a couple of questions, if that's all right.
Oh, exciting. Yeah, that's me.
So, first question, how did you become a nail tech and what inspired you?
Okay. So this probably could be quite a long story, but I'll shorten it down ever so slightly. So probably, if you've been on my Instagram before, I was actually a primary teacher for 3.5 years, roughly. And I was still a teacher when I went to college. So I went to college in August of last year, 2023. And I just kind of had a feeling that I wanted to do something else. I'm not going to go too much into the teaching side of things, but I had a kind of creativity feeling. I don't know if you know what I mean, but...
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yep. I just had like a feeling. I've always been quite a creative person. I've always done kind of like DIY kind of things at home. Not anything massive, but like making stuff. And like when I was a kid, I was always like making and painting and drawing. And I kind of lost it for a wee while, especially I think during COVID, kind of lost that spark.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know if it was just because I was stuck at home, and I know that a lot of people did use that as like a kind of space to do all those things, but I kind of went the other way, and I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I had obviously been doing some like creative things through teaching, and that was really great, but I just really wanted to kind of explore and find some other kind of things that would maybe make me feel a wee bit more, happier is not the word, but kind of just more, bring that spark back.
Yeah, definitely. I can totally relate because I felt exactly the same. Like, I was always very creative, always doing DIY, and like, I needed that job that had that creative outlet.
Yeah, like, absolutely. So I think I was having a conversation with my friend, and I think they had mentioned something about nails, and I had thought about it before. I'd actually thought about makeup before, and because makeup's always kind of been something that I've done. I used to like love makeup when I was like younger, a teenager, and again through COVID kind of lost that because we weren't really going out. Well, obviously we weren't going out anywhere, so I wasn't really wearing makeup. I kind of just, it kind of left me. So I was having a conversation with my friend, and I started actually doing a pottery class, and I thought, oh, this is quite good, like we're getting somewhere with that. And then I had it in my head that I wanted to do dog grooming, and I kind of went down that route ever so slightly, and then I kind of decided, actually, nope, that's not for me. So it was a lot of like kind of in and outs and not really sure, alongside the teaching, obviously, still is my full-time job.
Can 100% relate to that.
Yeah, like I was looking up college courses and all that kind of stuff, and yeah, it was just a bit of a time where I was kind of like, ooh, and again, don't know whether COVID's got something to do with that. I just kind of had been in for so long that I just was like, right, I need to do something else here. So I finally, I was having a conversation with my friend, and I think they'd mentioned nails, and I thought, that's maybe a good idea. I'll maybe have a wee look into that. However, obviously, like nail courses can be quite expensive depending on where you go and all that kind of thing. And I only had like kind of limited amount of like money to spend on it. So I actually found a college near me that does like an evening course, which I couldn't see anywhere else. It was all like day courses, and with being a teacher, obviously I couldn't do that. It had to be something at night. So I applied for it, and I actually got, I didn't get in the first time, but a couple of days later, I think someone must have pulled out. And because someone pulled out, I got given a place, which was great. So I was like, excellent, I'll go and do that. And I just kind of thought, do you know what? I'll see how it goes. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, then we just go back to starting again and finding something else. Anyway, I went the first time, and see, ever since that first day that I was there, I was like, oh my goodness, this is what I want to do.
Oh, really?
it was the weirdest feeling. I was like, oh, like, yeah, I like this. So
you just knew instantly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. I just thought, I like it and I really want to do it. So, which a big thing for me, because obviously I had, a big thing for anyone really, but I'd spent all that time at uni and stuff like that, obviously qualified teacher and stuff. And it is scary to kind of make a decision that you want to do something else. So I toyed with it for a wee while, continued on with the course. And then in the September, I actually left teaching and I decided that I was going to get a part-time job somewhere else and then do like nails alongside it. So I have kind of been in and out of things, different jobs and things like that, over that period of time. I did some random stuff, but I've always kept at the nails, and I've just kind of built it up really. I went to a workshop, kind of masterclass at House of Naff in Glasgow.
Yeah.
So I went there for their first ever tech talks, and it was, I've mentioned it a few times on Instagram, and I've kind of talked about it a couple of times and how it changed the kind of the journey that I was on, because it doesn't help me that I'm also from a place, like I live in a place that I'm not from. So I live in a town and I don't really know anyone. So I really was like starting from kind of scratch.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went to the event at the masterclass at House of Naff, and it just like brought a bit of a confidence in me that I didn't have before. And then that's kind of led me to Niche. Then it led me to Hona, like the Rodeo Nights event. And then it's just kind of snowballed from there. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, I can imagine, because that event those events look amazing. Like they look so good.
It's so good because I think in Glasgow and Scotland and things like that, there's not a lot of these big events that happen. A lot of masterclasses and things are kind of in England, or some are maybe in Wales and things like that. So to have one in Glasgow is excellent, because you don't have to obviously pay like the travel, and I don't have to pay. It's literally just down the road. I can just hop on a train, hour there, hour back. And yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, because you travelled like a ridiculous amount of time to go to the Hona event, didn't you? Was it like 7 hours?
Like 7.5 hours, yeah. And I dragged my boyfriend with me, bless him. So yeah, no. So that was good. I mean, it was totally worth it. It was totally worth it. But yeah, in a heartbeat.
But that is a long way to go.
It is, yeah. So having that just in Glasgow is super. That was really good. And I've been quite a few times now, and it's nice to meet people like obviously that are doing the same thing. And it's kind of, yeah, I've honestly, the support that I've had in the nail industry is absolutely just wow. I was sitting thinking about it the other day, and I was just like, I mean, some people I've met over Instagram, some people I've met like for a day, a couple of hours and stuff, and like they're commenting on your posts and liking everything. And I just think that's so nice. Like it's lovely, just to like DMing and things like that, just to say how good everything is. Yeah, it's good. It's really nice.
It's so nice. It is an amazing industry to be a part of. Like so much more supportive than I ever thought it would be.
Me too, actually. And I think as well, see, because I'm so new, I'm just like, wow, like that's actually, it's just, yeah, it's lovely. And it gives you that kind of motivation to keep going and all that kind of thing. And I mean, I try really hard to be like really supportive of other people as well. I always want to tell everyone how great everything is, because the talent is absolutely amazing. Like from nail art to even minimalistic stuff. Like I just think it's
good. It's insane, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So obviously I know you use Hona, but what made you choose them, and have you always used Hona?
So good question as well. So at college we used another brand, and it wasn't that I didn't like it. I kind of bought a couple of different gel polishes and stuff, and then something just kind of in me, I decided like, maybe I should actually look around before I just automatically go with the one that we were using. So I did a lot of research. That's kind of another reason why it took me so long to actually start up rather than just starting in January when I qualified. So I made sure that I was going to, that I was doing the research, because I thought if I'm going to put all my money into something, I want it to be something that I fully support. So I'm vegetarian, so for me, I really wanted something that was like cruelty-free, which I imagine most things probably are now, but I just wanted to make sure that that was like...
I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah, well, maybe. That was that was one of my must-haves. Like, I needed it to be cruelty-free, because that's kind of one of my values, obviously. And I... There was a lot of talk about allergies and all that kind of scary stuff. And I think, like, as a newly qualified nail tech, that is, you do get taught about it at college and stuff, obviously. But I think until you're actually in that situation, that's something that you don't really, like, it's, you think, like, oh, that's really worrying. But do you know what I mean? Like, once you're in that situation, you're like, oh, my God. We did get taught about it at college, but I think actually it gets talked more about, like, over the Instagram and over, like, social media and things like that. There's a lot of talk about it, a lot of different opinions.
Definitely.
And that can be quite scary as someone just coming in, kind of being like, oh, what's the right opinion? And what's, I mean, I know there are no right and kind of wrong opinions. Mm-hmm. They're just opinions. But you know what I mean? And trying to differentiate fact from opinion can be sometimes quite hard.
Oh, so hard, like impossible.
Yeah, so I was like, right, I really need to kind of figure out how I'm going to try and make this as safe as I can. I'm also quite a worrier. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that comes across, probably does. And yeah, so I started doing a lot of research. There was a few brands that I was kind of choosing between, and obviously I had went on their social medias and things like that. I didn't know of Hona before I had looked into it, but I came across their Instagram. I had a look. I thought the community looked fab. I had a look at all their gel polishes. I actually really liked the bottles. That was one thing that I thought. I've got a kind of obviously got my salon and things, and black is one of the kind of staples in here, so I kind of wanted it to match, obviously.
Yeah, the bottles is the swaying point for me. Like, I saw their bottles and I was like, right, yeah, this is the one.
Honestly, so I was like, right, okay, the bottles are good, they're vegan, cruelty free. And then I started obviously looking into them more, and the fact that they're like hypoallergenic gels and they're like HEMA free and that kind of thing. And I know that it's not the be all and end all and that kind of thing, but for me, I was just like, right, that puts my mind at ease that I'm making things as safe as I can.
Yeah.
So I got their trial kit and obsessed from there on out, really. I was just like, yep, this is me. So I just kind of started building things up, and now I've got a good wee collection. I just kind of try and get things bit by bit. I'm kind of trying to see what my clients like, because I don't want to waste things and get loads of colours and then people not use them.
You're being very smart, because it can be very, like, difficult to refrain from buying everything.
No, I have really had to stop myself. But yeah, so I just kind of started from there, and I'm just, you'll probably know yourself, like, it's hard to not go fully in, but then if you go fully in and people don't use them, you're kind of like, oh, I've bought that for no reason. I could have got another colour that they would have preferred and all that kind of thing. So I have really tried to be sensible, which is so not like me. Like, if you knew me, for anyone that knows me, like, would tell you. I can be quite impulsive. So
I'm very impulsive. Like, very, like, if I see something, I'm like, I want that.
So, and I can't stop thinking about it until I get it. I'm like, but I really need that. Like, earlier on, Graham and I went to TK Maxx, and I really have to limit how many times that I go into TK Maxx a year, because it can be quite dangerous. So anyway, I went into TK Maxx and I came out with two deck chairs, but I mean, like, old-fashioned, like, pinstripe white and blue, like the wooden.
I know what you mean. I love that.
I was like, no, I need
them. Yeah,
I needed them. Oh, I was like, that's such a good price for them, I need them right now. So yeah, they'll be getting Instagrammed as many times as I can.
Absolutely. Get them on Instagram.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, yeah. So, and honestly, Hona have been fabulous. The team are great. I really love the community. The community is the thing that I think I really like love the most. There is a few, I do see quite a lot of brands, some brands do it, but liking your posts and like sharing your posts and things like that, and you don't have to be someone that's got lots and lots and lots of followers, and I love that, because
I love that too.
I love that. I think if you're putting, obviously you're investing a lot in it, and even, I mean, you don't need recognition for things to, like, for your work to be fabulous. I don't mean that, but it's such a nice feeling, like, to have that as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's lovely. I really like that. So yeah, I would 10 out of 10 recommend, and have done, to anyone that will listen.
Yeah, I'm the same. I like shouting from the rooftops. I love Hona. So what's your favourite set of nails that you've ever done? How long did they take, and why are they your favourite?
Right, okay. Oh, that's a really good question. Okay. The nails that I think are my favourite would probably be, a while ago, I did a set of nails that every single tip was a different animal print.
Yes, I knew you were going to say those. They're my favourite that you've done as well. They're so good.
I have done a few that I've thought, oh, I'm getting better, but these nails were absolutely a staple point for me, and I was like, yeah. Oh my goodness.
10 out of 10.
I was so proud of myself, honestly, and I still use them for like lots of different things, and it's actually a fellow nail tech who comes to me as a client.
Oh really? That's so nice.
And it's just lovely, because I mean, for her appointments we kind of do lengthy them out a bit, because we have a good chat and we do like a lot of like detailed nail art and things like that, so I block out quite a bit of time for it, but it's worth it. Because she's dead supportive and things like that. And those nails, I thought they are, well, I'm getting somewhere. They're probably my favourite set. I think, I mean, off the top of my head, I think we took about 4 hours on them, but I think it was just because we were chatting away and all that kind of thing. But at that point as well, it was still quite early days, so it took me a lot longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved them, and yeah.
Okay, so who's your biggest inspiration and why? And it doesn't have to be nail or beauty related.
Oh, that is a hard one.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I actually think it would probably be my mum, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that.
Yeah, it would be my mum, for loads and loads and loads of different reasons, but she's always supported me in everything that I have wanted to do. I mean, it's not particularly easy probably to hear your daughter say, after the copious amounts of studying that I've done, I've decided that I'm actually wanting to leave that now and go and do something else. And she has been one of my biggest supporters in it. And actually, in saying that, Graham's mum also has been a big influence to me in different ways as well. So both of them, I think, in terms of people who inspire me, just to kind of like follow for different things, following my own path and kind of making my own way, and like just being strong enough to do it.
I love that. That's so nice.
So yeah, I'll go for them. And I probably could have said like someone famous or something like that. But
no, that's so much more wholesome.
Yeah, I know. I think for me, it's a wee bit more closer to home than that.
Well, I think it is though, isn't it? Because it's like people that are there all the time for you. Like, of course they inspire you.
Yeah, and I mean, Graham's mum got to mention her, because she has been on Instagram liking every single thing that I put up and sharing it and commenting on everything. And she was actually my first ever model, apart from at college. So outside college, she continued to be a model for a really long period of time, bless her. And I mean, there were some nails that we were doing and that were 5-hour sittings, because it took me so long. And she's yeah, she was really, really good. So, and she actually, she continued being a client for a wee while after that, but there's a big, there's a different, a distance in where we stay. So she's taking a wee break just now, but she'll be back for her holiday nails, I'm sure.
Oh, that's so nice.
And I like that. So that kind of inspires me as well, I guess, because there's people that have got your back and things like that, and it is always, it always nice to know that you're not alone and doing something.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
So it's so nice, like, chatting to you properly, because obviously, like, we spoke a little bit at the nail event and we've chatted over Instagram, but I feel like it's nice to actually, like, get to know a little bit more about you, because you are, like, new on Instagram and you share, like, little bits, but it's nice to actually, like, hear your story and stuff. So thank you for answering those questions. So obviously, since the event, like I've mentioned, we chatted a couple of times on Instagram, and I think you'd posted something about, was it, like, about imposter syndrome or, like, anxieties that you were feeling, like, doubts?
Oh, yeah, quite possibly.
I think it was something on your story and I replied to it.
Yeah, I think it was. I'm tempted to actually just check.
I think I'd like replied to your story saying something like, you know, like, I totally relate and it's really great that you shared that. And, like, we were sort of talking about how important it is to share, like, every part of life, like the good, the bad and the ugly, which is what you said.
Yes. Oh, and I think we had said something, and as a joke, I think I had said something like, oh, that'll be good for a podcast.
Yeah. And I was like, you'd have to be a guest.
And here we are. Yeah. Yeah, I actually can't find it. I don't know where it is. It's amongst messages of some, somewhere. But yeah, it was something along the lines of, about imposter syndrome. I do kind of post about that quite a lot, mostly like work and nail kind of related. It wasn't like anything to do with because I think, yeah, with my nail page anyway, I like to try and because I think actually it's interesting, because I think there are probably things that I put up that are nail related specifically, but probably can come into kind of all areas of kind of life, and that's kind of what I try to do, I guess, is kind of speak about things that don't necessarily always have to have something to do with nails, but at that time are to do with, obviously, I think, something that relates to me.
I think when you're self-employed as well, like, that, like, sort of definitely merges, like, the personal and the professional, like, it's just becomes one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right.
So that's how, like, the episode was sort of born, and I asked Lauren if she would come on, and we want to talk a little bit about, like, the realities of being a nail tech, which is what I mentioned earlier. And I think, like, sharing on social media and even just, like, talking to people privately about all of the, like, things that you're feeling, negative or positive, is really important. Before we get into the negative, I want to focus a little bit on the positive. So I just wanted to ask, like, what is your favourite part about being a nail tech?
My favourite part? Oh, there are so many different parts that it would be probably hard to choose one, to be honest. I think I've already kind of mentioned it when we were talking about Hona, but the community, as you kind of said, is so supportive, more than I had ever heard of before, or more than I had ever thought it would be. And that's not to say that I necessarily thought it was going to be not supportive, but I think I had it in my head that I was going, once I had kind of thought, I'm going to go self-employed and I'm going to work from home, that was quite scary, because I was thinking, oh, what if home doesn't feel like home anymore? And what if I don't make any friends, or I'm not going out anywhere, so what happens if, like, and I had all these thoughts running through my head of, like, what if, the usual, like, things that you start thinking. And I think, like, that's kind of where, when I was talking about House and Af, and when I was talking about going to all these events and things like that, I didn't even know that they things existed, like, no. In all honesty, when I came out of college. So the social aspect for me, in that sense, I love that. I love, and I mean, I'm not going to an event every single weekend, and I'm not going every single month even, but last month, I think, I did have quite a, this year, I've had quite a few, which have been fab, and I've loved that side, because you're just in, like, I mean, for the Rodeo Nights event, it was like being in a big party with loads of people that all did the same thing, and it was great, like, it was so fun. I love that I have literally built everything that's around me on my own. Yes. Like, that's something that I just never, ever thought I could do. I never, no. You don't really get taught. I don't think, you probably do now more than you did when I was at school, but it's not something that's talked about a lot, I don't no. think. And I think the beauty industry is massive now in comparison to what it was when I was at school. And I mean, in all honesty, I don't think I probably wouldn't have went that direction anyway, because I know what no. I was like when I was a teenager. But just the fact that I have... Yeah, I think it's good to make a big deal out of things that feel massive to you.
Absolutely. And
this is like the biggest one of my biggest achievements. And that's not to say that being a teacher wasn't a great achievement, because it was. It was an achievement in itself. And then the things that I've done prior to that. But this is something that is mine. And yeah.
It's 100% you.
Yeah, yeah. Like all of the things that have been going on in my brain. And I think earlier on when I was saying that I wanted like a creative thing,
mm-hmm.
like I've not only found it in the actual creating nails, but I've found it in creating ways to advertise, creating ways yeah. to make a tiny box room in my house, like a nail salon or a nail studio. It's just, yeah. So when I think about it like that, I talk about quite a lot, like stopping to kind of think about,
oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
the positives and things like that. And in all honesty, when I'm writing these things, half the time I'm not even writing it for other people. I'm actually writing it for me, because yes. I need like things to look back on and think like, yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what I mean. You've got to take that step back and like look at what you've done. Like, it's amazing.
And I mean, I know there are people who have, like, are lots of steps ahead of me, and that's great, and I love that. But sometimes I need to stop and think, they've been doing it for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
Like, calm yourself down, you'll get there. And a lot of the time, like, I was speaking to someone the other day, and I was kind of saying, like, I always think that I should be doing more. And yeah. I rush myself sometimes into taking steps that I don't necessarily need to take right now. Do you know yeah. what I mean? Like, I don't need to have 45 clients on my books at the moment, because I've only just started.
Yeah, I think that's really important. It's something I've touched on in a previous episode as well. Like, you have to, like, enjoy where you are right now. Like, you
and
know,
it's just, easier said than done.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, because you can, like, you want to look ahead so far, and like, because of like how far you've come already, you're like, well, what more can I do? Like, how far can I go with this? And it's like, you've got to really like just stop for a second and be like, okay, I've made it this far, like, we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when I was saying that, it's the same, and like that can bleed into all kind of walks of life. Like, that doesn't necessarily just mean, like, it doesn't necessarily just equate to nails, no. Because yeah, I'm in all aspects of things, like you do need to stop and just think, wow, even if it's such a small step.
Yes.
Like, you've just had your first three client day. That's so good.
I was just going to say that. And actually, yesterday wasn't just a 3-day client day, it was also a 3-day client day plus wedding nails that I've never done before. And yeah, it was quite exciting for me, so that was good. I loved that. I mean, like, having to stop and be like, this is my like first 3 client day kind of thing. So yeah,
achievement, it's so good.
It's huge. But I think that's, I love, like, myself, when I'm going through TikTok and Instagram and stuff, I love it when people like share that with you. I love yes. it when people are saying like, oh, I've only got 2 clients today, but it's super exciting because yep. last week I only had 1. Yep. And I think it's something that's not talked about probably enough though, because no. people obviously want to be busy and want to yes. look like they're really busy. But
that's not the reality. It's like, we all start from somewhere. Like, you know, we all had a time where we only had 1 client in a week. Like, we all had that, so share it.
Absolutely. But I think, like, and lots of people, if you were to ask them or say to them like, oh yeah, everyone starts somewhere, but I think it's great to see it, because then you actually think, oh, everyone does only start somewhere. Yeah. Because I think sometimes, well, for me, I know what I'm like, and I need to visually see stuff happening mm-hmm. for me to like, for it really to, for sink me to in. Retain it. Yeah, 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 and sink in. So for me, I just love that. I love watching like, three client days, two client days. I love watching eight client days as well, but yeah. I just thought it was really important for me, just for me really, to document everything, definitely. Use my Instagram as a portfolio, my wee persona that I've got going on. And I love that. I love just working for myself. And I mean, not having to answer to anyone is really good.
Oh, it's so amazing. Like, that is the best thing. You set your own rules.
Absolutely. There are negative sides as well, I think.
Which actually leads me to my next question.
Oh, excellent.
So what's the biggest challenge you've faced so far?
Oh, okay.
I think for me, like, if I really take a step back and think, like, what have I found the hardest? I think it's, like, having that balance of, like, life and work. Because I think that it can be, especially with using social media so heavily, it can, like, merge so easily. Like, I can find myself sat on the sofa, like, editing a video. And actually, like, that is work for me. And I shouldn't be sat there doing that. I should be sat with my boyfriend watching The Walking Dead. Not editing a video. So I find that really difficult. I don't know if you relate to that at all. Obviously, you're not, like, quite as busy yet, but I don't know if that's, like, something that you've struggled with.
It is a wee bit. It is a wee bit. Like, obviously, I mean, I don't have a massive following on either Instagram or TikTok, but
no.
As I said, like, I don't make the videos for other people. I have decided, I've made a conscious decision that I'm making those videos for me. And if anything comes of that, then woohoo. But if not, then it's a portfolio for clients. It's a portfolio for me. Like, it's not. So, but yeah, I do find myself on my phone way more than I was before.
Oh, yeah, it's so hard.
So that is something that I have to try and limit. But I have been trying to kind of use my time wisely, if that makes sense. So, like, in between clients, like, if I do only have, like, a two client day or a three client day, like, I'll edit my videos during my work day, or like, I'll do it in between then. Or if I'm, like, I don't know, if my boyfriend and I are going somewhere, I'll maybe do it in the car. When we wouldn't be doing that. I know a lot of people can't do that because car sickness and stuff. But
oh yeah, I can't do that.
I luckily don't get it. So I'll try and do it in times where, like, if I'm sitting on my phone scrolling, I could be editing a video rather than scrolling, watching other stuff.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, so I try to do it that way. Doesn't always work, but even, like, multiple editing, like, editing things that I want to put up and just, like, keeping them in my drafts so that I can just, like, that. I know that quite a lot of people probably do that. But as I said, like, I'm not majorly busy in that sense, so I just kind of wing it. Biggest thing probably is the imposter syndrome, I'm not going to lie. That's a big challenge for me in terms of, like, I don't know, like, am I doing enough? Like, have I got enough clients in today? Like, all that kind of stuff. But I'm working on ways to manage that, and it's getting easier. And I think as well, as your confidence builds, and your ability and all that kind of thing, and in your timings and stuff, I think timings was a huge one that I was stressing out about. Major stress. But I've kind of decided now, unless someone says to me, you've taken too long on them, I'm not coming back, then, and people are still coming back, even if I do take a wee bit longer.
Yeah, no one actually cares how long it takes, as long as their nails look nice.
I know, I was literally sitting thinking this the other day, I was like, Lauren, why are you being so hard on yourself? When I used to go and get my nails done, I was never sitting thinking, this is taking pure ages. Like, I've never thought that. So I don't know why I think that other people are thinking that, but it's just one of those things that your brain does see, isn't it?
You just stress about and overthink.
Absolutely. I think, but that's just me as a person, though, big overthinker. But yeah, just kind of that. If we were talking about businessy kind of sides of things, I think just kind of trying to figure out what is right for me rather than relying too heavily on the opinions of other people.
Yes.
Like, via Instagram and via TikTok and things, because there are, as I said earlier on, there are so many people who have got so many different opinions and so many different, like, there are lots of, obviously, like, facts out there, but
preferences, I think.
Preferences is a better word, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think
It's not. It's hard to not let it influence the way that you think and the way that you want to do things. Like, you've really got to separate, like, what it is you want and what you want to do, like, over what it is somebody else is doing. Because I find myself doing that as well. Like, it's really difficult to not be influenced.
Yeah, it is really hard. Yeah, I think that probably is the better word. Like, preferences on different things. I think, for me, like, I really need to try and think about what is best for me and like what works for me, rather than going, oh well, they're doing that, like that must be the way to do it, and that's a me thing, that's a no one else thing, that's like I need to make sure that I'm doing things that are right for me.
Sometimes it's really amazing to have all of that information out there from other people, but also it can be very overwhelming, and I think a lot of the times you have to, like, it's best to figure something out for yourself rather than have somebody like tell you how to do it or show you how to do it,
because then you figure out how you want to do it.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, it's really good to get like lots of different opinions and preferences and things like that, because there's things that I've tried and I've thought, no, that doesn't work for me, and I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not good. It obviously works for other people, but just doesn't work for me. So yeah, I think just I like to try and stay quite open-minded in that sense, and I just kind of, I mean, the way that I started is different to the way that I'm, like, that I've carried on, and I'm sure it'll change again, and in all aspects of things, not just, like, business-wise, and even from, like, things down from application to, like, the way my desk is set up to, like, the way that my room is, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just...
It's constantly evolving, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah.
Do you struggle with the socialising side of the job?
Yeah, I can do.
Client-wise, but, I mean...
I can sometimes.
Like, how did you feel yesterday after your 3-client day?
Yeah, I was tired.
Yeah,
I was really tired. So I think I've been quite naive in how, like, really actually quite tired it is. But because it's one-to-one, that is, like, a big, like, thing for me. In retrospect, like, I had originally kind of maybe thought down the route of working or inquiring about, like, working in a salon. And in retrospect, I don't think that would have worked for me.
No, nope. Overwhelming.
Not overwhelming. I am quite a sensory, sensory stuff. And I think if I was in a salon, it would have been too much for me. But I think because it's one-to-one, I can cope a lot better. And I think as well, because it's in my own space, that helps. I think if these things weren't in place, it would be a very different story for me personally.
When you're, like, in your own space, like, you're the one, I think, that feels more comfortable. Like, somebody's coming into your space, so... I don't know. Like, it does make it a bit different. Like, I think if I was in a salon... I think I would struggle a lot more, especially because also, like, there's people around you that can listen to your conversations, and I don't like that. Not that I'm saying anything wrong, but I would be, like, so conscious of, like, being, like, on all the time and professional.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
But I think, like, when you're constantly talking, like, all day, it's really difficult. Like, after a 4-client day, Harvey comes home from work, and bless his poor little soul, I'm like, don't talk to me. I can't.
I'm like that with Graham sometimes, but see, to be fair, he's kind of tuned into it now, where he kind of knows, like, just to kind of, like, I need, like, I can get quite, my social battery can die quite quickly, so, like, I have to really, like, have a wee bit of time, like, in a corner to myself, because, I just sometimes start forgetting, like, what I've been saying, and, like, I could have been having a conversation at the beginning of a
appointment,
and then by the end I'll say the same thing again, and I'm like, have I told you that already, and the client's like, yeah, and I'm like, oh right, okay, like, or I'll say something and then they'll go, I don't, you've told me that, and I was like, oh, all right, I must have said that to the bit. So I start merging stuff together, and I'm like, right, just general conversation, but, like, so
it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be hard, but I'm also quite lucky in the sense that I've had, like, fantastic clients, like, and there have been kind of times where it has been quite, like, quiet, but I don't really get uncomfortable.
No, I think it's really, Yeah, I think it's really important to embrace that silence. Like, sometimes you just need to sit and just get on with what you're doing and not talk and listen to some music.
Absolutely. I've always got the music playing and stuff, and when I've got like applications, sometimes there are certain parts where I'm just like, I do just like stop speaking,
yeah,
and then I clock on to the fact I've stopped speaking and I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry. I was like, I had to concentrate there. But no, yeah, I think five clients would probably be my max.
Oh yeah, that's my max.
I think that would maybe, yeah, hats off to people who are doing more than that.
There's this girl on TikTok, I don't know if you follow her, Sophie's Cute Nails. Do you follow her?
I'm not sure. I'd need
if
to
you don't,
check.
Then definitely do.
But she does like little day in the life where she shows the nails that she's done in that day. I'm not joking. She does like 12 clients in a day.
I'm how like, are you doing that? That's amazing.
I would be dead. I wouldn't be able to get up.
I know. Yeah, because that's crazy. Like one after the other.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, one of the kind of worrying things for me would be if I went over. Like, see, right now I have to block out like a good like maybe half an hour between each one, because yeah, I'm always a wee bit worried. Because at the moment I'm at that stage where, I mean, I don't actually know if this is a stage or I've just made this up, but I'm at a stage where like I could do a gel polish like on you and it would take like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Or I can do it on like, I don't know, someone else, literally on the same day, and it could take me like 2 hours, and I'm
like,
because everybody's nails are different, like you can't judge.
That's true.
But you, as time goes on, like you sort of gauge better how long things take, because you do get quicker.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I have got quicker. I mean, from 5 hours down to about two and a half, two to two and a half, so that's quite good.
That's really good.
Teehee. That's good. So but yeah, yeah, I think if you were to ask me that question again, and like hopefully if I get more clients in the next like 6 months, then it might be a different answer. But at the moment we're surviving, yeah.
That's good. Do you get a lot of satisfaction out of the job? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. What is it that satisfies you the most? Go for it.
Finish your answer there. I'm like, yes.
<All right>.
do you know what? I think I've said, like, I have a habit of doing this. Like, I've said a lot of things I've said probably would feed into this question as well. I get satisfaction in all the different kind of areas. So like I love when people come, and it sounds a bit funny, but sometimes I'll be in the middle of a set and I'm thinking, is this going to turn out the way that I'm hoping it does? And you're like looking at them, and you'd obviously, I wouldn't say anything, but I'm like, I'm starting to panic now that I've maybe done this wrong. And then actually, I just need to trust myself, because it is just a work in progress. Like,
yes.
And they end up great, and I'm like, oh yes, that's so good. So that I love that. But at the moment, I'm in a really nice part where there's a lot of firsts happening. Mm-hmm. So, like, obviously yesterday, the 3-day client thing, like, that was just great. And the wedding nails, and, like, I'm trying to think of some other things. Even like, getting reviews on Fresha, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I just, it all kind of gives, it's, it all feeds into, like,
feeling satisfied and happy.
Yeah.
Yes. There's just lots of stuff. I think as well, though, because it is mine and I did it. And I did used to get like satisfaction out of like other jobs and things like that. But it's a totally different feeling when it's when it's yours.
Definitely.
So yeah, I get a lot of satisfaction out of it. And as I said, like I'm a lot more. I've that spark that I was looking for has definitely come back. I think there's probably still, like, with the confidence, when the confidence builds and things, and I'm more experienced and stuff, I think that spark will be even brighter.
Yeah.
But at the moment, like, I'm in a really kind of good, loving the... It does sound dead cheesy, but it's what it is.
You're just loving it.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I mean, I hope it stays that way.
Oh, it will.
And I think it will. From every... I haven't met, like, one person who's been like, oh, I've been doing it for, like, 8 years and I hate it. Like, I've never came across that. I mean, there probably are people who fall out of love with it, but at the moment, yeah.
Which actually leads me to my next question. Do you think that you could sustain being a nail tech for a long period of time, or do you have other dreams and goals for your career?
Do you know what? I think because I'm so early on, I haven't really thought that far ahead. I obviously have had the thought of would people come to me like for that long period of time, but I mean, they probably would, yeah. So
you're not at the point where you're thinking further yet. You're just...
Not really. I've thought of ideas of what I want to do in the next, like, say, like, couple of years. Like, yeah. I'd know for sure that I don't want to stay in this room. I have got a couple of ideas up my sleeve in terms of that. But I also, I'm actually doing a pedicure course next month, so I'm quite excited.
Oh, that's fun. Not for me. I don't do toes, but...
No. But yeah, so I'm gonna do that, and I have had like a wee idea of like maybe I could add some other things in, but I really wanted to make sure that I was confident in what I was doing before I added in like anything else.
Do you think that like you're sort of, because obviously you were a teacher, do you think that'll feed into like doing nails? Would you want to teach like nails, or is that not something you want to do?
I actually don't know. I think for me, I would have to be in it for a good like 5+ years, maybe even more than that, to consider it. Because I'm at a stage at the moment where I'm like, would anyone even learn anything off of me?
No, but of that's course, yeah. But this
do
is
know
like,
what I mean,
yeah,
yeah. I know what you mean. Like probably that's the old imposter syndrome showing its true colours.
Yeah, yeah. I feel it every day.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, probably. I suppose. Yeah, I maybe would.
On like a one-on-one basis would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It would be really good. I think there's lots of... Do you know what's so good? There's so many different routes you can go down.
Oh, yeah, so
and
many.
I didn't realise how many there was, because obviously I was in a job where there was only really kind of like...
Yeah.
Well, there was a few different routes you could go down, but there's a lot to go down in this. So, yeah, I mean, I would definitely consider it. But at the moment, I haven't really thought that far ahead.
There is so many things you can do, because you can teach, you can own a salon, you can, like, you could literally go down so many different paths, which is so cool.
Loads of stuff. It's actually amazing.
It is amazing. But you're right in enjoying where you're at right now. Not thinking too far ahead. So do you think that you could be successful in your business without social media? Or do you feel like it's an integral part of like your growth and where you've got to?
It's not to say that I couldn't be successful without it, but I do think now, like in this time, I think that it is an integral part of growth. Like it's free advertising at the end of the day. And I think like, I mean, I'm not a marketing expert at all in the slightest. I've never had my own business. As I said earlier, like I'm winging this. And a lot of things, like some things you pick up from other people. Some things I've kind of thought, that's a good idea. And I've just ran with it. And some things have worked and some things haven't.
I don't know how they did it, like, you know, like years and years ago when social media, Instagram, TikTok didn't exist. Like, what did you do?
Word of mouth, I guess. Yeah, like, yeah, word of mouth. And I mean, I don't think, a lot of people have said to me that word of mouth is like the main one, but actually, I don't think I've had a client yet that's been from word of mouth.
No.
And I mean, I think there are lots of people probably have had clients from word of mouth, but for me, my biggest driver has been Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
Instagram, I've had a couple from TikTok, which I thought, that's great, because I'm obviously, I mean, I sometimes think, am I too old for TikTok? But here we are.
She's doing it anyway.
Oh, how old do you think I am?
like 24, 25?
Love that. No, I'm actually 27. I'm 28 this year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm absolutely not too old for TikTok, but I do sometimes think, like...
You feel it.
There are people who are older than me who I think, wow, they're smashing it on TikTok. And I don't think, I do not once think about their age. But it's just when it comes to yourself, you do obviously think like,
it's that imposter syndrome again.
I know. See, common theme here.
Keeps coming up.
Theme. I know. But yeah, Instagram, I love Instagram. I think it's great. I love the photo. I mean, I think there's been a couple of different... like things that have changed over the last like wee while. that I maybe don't like so much, but I love the format of it. I just love that it's all pictures, and I do actually quite like the story features as well. I love that.
I love that as well. I think that's a really, I think it's really good for like clients and like to show like a little bit more of like a personal side to you, because I feel like your grid is like your professional portfolio, and then your story, you can be a bit like,
I don't know, you can play around a bit more
fun.
With it.
Yeah.
Next question. So you posted on your story recently that you were taking a little break from social media. That was like a couple of weeks ago, I think. What does that entail for you? Do you like completely log off and not look at your phone? Like, do you just take a break from posting and still have like a sneaky little scroll through? Like, what do you do? And is it just for work, or is it like personal as well?
Yeah, well, this is quite interesting, because this has actually always been a trait of mine. And I used to think it was a pure toxic trait, that I used to just delete my social media like all the time. Not like all the time, but like quite often.
Yeah, every now and again you just go.
And whenever I said that to people, quite a few people were like, all right, okay, like why? Like what? Like why? I then realised not that long ago that it actually is a necessity for me. I need to do that. Yeah. Because as I said earlier on, like, as much as I love social media and I think it's got its place, like, obviously, within the industry and personal social life, that kind of thing, I think it can be super overwhelming.
Yeah. And toxic as well.
Absolutely. I try really hard to stay on a positive side. I will not watch anything that I think will make me upset or overthink stuff, yeah, or like that kind of stuff. This was more of a kind of personal level rather than businessy stuff. But in that particular instance a couple of weeks ago, imposter syndrome had really dug its heels in.
There it is again.
Yeah, there she is. And I just was like, no, I need to stop this, because I think it can get to a point where if you let it go on for long enough, you really start to believe some of the things that like you tell yourself. And I mean, some people are maybe not, it maybe doesn't happen to some people, but a lot of people that I've spoke to feel kind of the same way. And I just think it's important that it's kind of normalised in a sense that you don't feel alone. Like, for example, when I'd written that post, you replied back to me and I thought, you know what, it's good to know that, I hate to know that other people go through it.
Of course,
but it's good to know that I'm not on alone. My own in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's good when people like mention it, and I don't mention it because it's not because I want people to be like, oh, that's so sad. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm more say it because it's a place for me to like talk about it without actually having to talk about it.
Yes, you're getting it off your chest.
Yeah, but also it's allowing other people who you might not necessarily know feel that way. Yeah, I've forgotten the question now. I've went off on a pure tangent.
So you completely delete the social media from your phone? You don't look at it at all?
No. So on a personal level, when I didn't have my business Instagram, I would just delete it, and I would delete it for however long I thought, and then eventually I would think, right, I'm ready to go back now, and that would be it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go on it. I wouldn't speak to anyone on it. There would be none of that. I would have like fully time off it, whether that was 2 days, whether that was 2 weeks, whether that was a month, depended on what was going on at the time. In this instance, I found that a wee bit harder because, not harder, because actually, like more difficult, I didn't feel the need to go on. However, I've got clients that talk to me through Instagram, so I kind of had to keep it, but I took it off my
phone screen. Yeah,
that's the one. My home screen. So I did get notifications if it was like urgent, but I didn't post anything within that time.
Yeah.
And the only time that I went on it was to reply to whoever I was speaking to.
Yeah.
About like an appointment, or if it was like, I think maybe even when I had replied to you, like I had already deleted it. But when I seen your message, obviously I went on to it to reply. But other than that, I didn't I didn't go on it. I think I was about a week and a bit. Mm. And then eventually I thought, right, I'm ready to go back. And it was just nothing even like really bad was happening. I was just kind of in a kind of rut of I've only had like two clients this week and I hadn't, but that kind of way of I've only had like this happen this week and I've only had, so instead of me saying I've only, now I took that period of time to turn that around and think I have had that many, whereas 2 months ago I didn't have that at all. So works for some people, works for doesn't it, oh my goodness works for some people, sometimes it doesn't. But for me, like, it's just really important that I take that time off.
I think it's really impressive that you have that like self-restraint, because I don't think I've once done that since I started posting regularly on social media. I don't think that I actually like could delete Instagram from my phone without obsessively thinking about it. And like when I think about it, I'm like, that's really like bad. Like I should have like a little bit of a break. Obviously I'm not on it like 24/7, but like, you know, like if you, me and Harvey went to Lytham Festival and I wasn't like picking up my phone constantly, like I wasn't on Instagram, but like I don't know, because for me it's sort of like in my mind it's like work, and like it's difficult to like separate it, if that makes sense. So I think it's really impressive that you have that self-restraint to actually go, do you know what, this isn't like serving me right now. Like, I'm going to leave it and not look at it.
Thank you. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's taken me a while to get there. Like, I'm talking, like, years of, like, because in the past, I have kind of had, like, on a personal side, I have kind of had, what's the word that I'm looking for? I've had a kind of not great relationship with social media. Just comparing myself all the time. As they say, comparison is the thief of joy. So
absolutely,
I mean, it starts with me, so it was me that had to do something about that. So yeah, it takes a wee while, but it benefits me, and I don't do it all the time. I'm not saying that like every single week I'm going to be posting, hey guys, that's me signing off. But like it takes quite a wee bit of imposter syndrome-y things happening for me to go, right, come on, we need to take a wee break. But it works every time.
That's really good.
Yeah, and then I just pick back up. Yeah, I do recommend.
You just download it again and then you just straight back to it.
I think the one thing that worried me this time though was, I mean, as I said, like I don't have a major following or anything like that. I started in, I think I opened my Instagram, started my Instagram in maybe January. Started in January, I think, and it was the same with TikTok. Like I just made them, I think at the same time. And I think from then to now, I think I've maybe got about 400 or something like that. Or maybe like 300, just shy of like 400. And I thought, that's actually not too bad for someone that's just started. I thought, that's quite good. But it's not, it's not like a major factor. But it is nice as well. It's nice to know that like you've got like people who are like, oh, I'm gonna follow you. Like that's cool. I like that.
It plays into that support, like the support in the industry.
Yeah, I think now I've kind of made myself think of it in a different way. Rather than thinking, oh, if I don't get any likes in that photo, like I must be rubbish. Like I'm thinking, like, I don't know, maybe it's the algorithm or maybe it's this. There are other factors rather than just me being rubbish, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all about looking at things differently. And I mean, it's so difficult and it's harder. Mm-hmm. It's easier said than done. And I still, clearly, from a lot of these conversations, imposter syndrome still absolutely is involved. Yeah. And
it's something I really struggle with, like, very regularly, probably like once a week. I'm like, what am I doing?
Everyone does, do you know what I mean? Like even the most confident people probably have those kind of those thoughts and kind of things, but I think it's just good to talk about it. It's good to normalize it and just kind of realize, yeah, we just need to sometimes look at things in a different way. And I think coming off social media gives me that kind of outside point of view rather than like being still in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can look at it differently because I'm not constantly looking at things that are in front of me. So yeah.
Do you feel like pressure to post regularly, or because I found that really difficult when I was first starting out, because obviously you don't really have that many clients, so you don't have a lot of content to post. So I feel like it's really actually quite difficult to build up your social media.
Yeah, I found that really hard at the beginning, and I still do. And I think actually that's what I was going to say when I started that conversation. I've just bypassed it. But I think that time I found it difficult because I was really worried that I was going to lose all my followers because I wasn't posting anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I know realistically that was not going to happen. No. But I maybe lose a couple or something like that, but I don't think I was going to lose all 300 of them because I didn't post for 2 days. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just sometimes I think, why am I thinking these things?
Yeah.
But yeah, I did find that at the beginning, like I was posting my own nails and things, and actually I think only did 2 sets on my own nails, and then after that it was like model appointments, but even like getting models and stuff, it was quite difficult. I found it quite challenging at first, and then at the kind of end up, I ended up having like a wee influx of people who came, and I kind of spread them out over a period of time rather than like, because I'm really bad, I don't know what you're like for this, but I'm terrible for like doing a set of nails and being like, I want to post them right now, I need to post them right this very second, because I love them. And yesterday is a prime example of that. So I did those inside out nails.
Yeah, they're incredible, by the way.
Thank you very much. I was obsessed with them. We had such a great time like creating them and things, and I was desperate to post them because I was like, I love these are like super. Anyway, I tried to post them in between my second client and my third, and I didn't have enough space of time, but anyway, I posted it anyway. I ended up posting the wrong video there was two, so I posted the wrong photo at full at the end up. I posted the wrong video at the back, so then I had to make a separate post, and I was just like, Lauren, if you'd just waited an hour and a half.
Literally.
Honestly, but yeah, I'm bad for that. So yeah.
But also, you've got to remember that not everything has to be perfect, so...
It's true as well. That's another thing. I'm bad for that too, but that's the comparison side.
Yeah.
You just want everything to look... But I think maybe my niche might actually be things not looking particularly perfect.
I don't know, then. Your nails are pretty perfect. Like, your progress in such a short amount of time is really impressive. Like... To say that you only started, like, taking clients on properly in April, that was, like, 3 months ago.
Like, to me, that feels like a year ago. But that's really kind, thank you.
No, but, like, honestly, like, the sets you're creating are really, like, they're amazing. I'm not just talking about, like, the art. Obviously, the art is incredible. But, like, that, you know, the base that you're putting the art on, like, the builder gel is amazing. Like, you should be really proud of yourself.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Because that was something I was really worried about, retention. I think early on, retention's something that freaking out about.
Yeah.
Because I thought, if I can't get all these nails to last, then people are not going to come back. Because naturally, you don't want to be coming... If you can get a 4-week set out of nails, you don't want to come every 2 weeks because...
No.
Like, do you know what I mean? So yeah, it took a lot of practice, and I think that's why I also didn't take, like, I did take a wee bit longer with model appointments than what I probably should have. I probably could have started a couple of maybe weeks before, but I decided no, I'm just going to keep going and see how we got on. And as I said, like, Graham's mum was fab for that because she was really like absolutely. So I owe a lot to her for that.
That's amazing.
But yeah, no, and I think I kept a lot of photos. Well, I obviously take videos and photos of everything, but that first video that I did with all the week's retention, one of my proudest, I was just proudest punch making that video, because I thought I can finally relax on that now. Because it is a bit of teething. There's a couple of different things that you need to kind of work out for yourself. And
oh, absolutely.
And also, like, not everything you're taught, you implement. Like, you've got to sort of figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that as well, like, when you're watching other people do nails and things like that, like, lots of different people on TikTok use lots of different, like, People use different products. People use different, not even just like the actual brand itself. People use different like brushes and all that kind of thing. Different e-files, different kind of methods and stuff. So yeah, once I kind of, I'm now in a kind of routine that I'm comfortable with. So that's good. So yeah.
That's really good. Well, that's all the questions. That's all the questions I have. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I honestly can't even remember what I've talked about. I'm going to go away and think, oh no.
No, don't be silly. You've done amazing. It's been really nice to have you on and chat with you. I think you've brought up some really good points.
Oh, good. It's been so good chatting to you and like hearing your side of stuff as well. But yeah, this is it's been super, it's so fun, but super scary. It's so outside my comfort zone.
I know.
But it's been so good.
But we got to push ourselves and do these things. Like it's
true. Yeah.
And it's only me you sat with, so it's fine.
That's true.
Don't think about the people that are going to listen.
Yeah, I know. I just might not listen. I'll just forget.
No,
I'm only
kidding. No,
I'll be like setting up like a room and I'm going to invite people to it and be like...
You're going to have a listening party.
Absolutely. VIP. Uh-huh.
I love that.
That's so funny.
Well, thank you so much for joining me and being on.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, thank you to everybody who listens in. And yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Nothing else to add. Oh, your Instagram is @onails.bylauren, yeah?
Yeah, lowercase. And I think my TikTok's the same. If anyone's interested in coming and saying hello, there's more.
Yes, go follow her. Have a look at her art.
Yeah, but thank you so much. Honestly, I really appreciate you having
You're
me
welcome.
On. It's been so fun. I've had a great time.
Of course. So I just wanted to quickly hop on before I end this episode and thank anyone who has listened this far. I know that this was a little bit of a longer episode. In fact, it is the longest episode I've ever done, but it was definitely worth it. I wanted to include everything that Lauren said. I think she had some really great points and a really great perspective on things considering she's such a newly qualified nail technician. So I really do hope that you enjoyed listening to her story and definitely go and show her some love over on Instagram and TikTok. She posts regularly over there. And yeah, thank you so much to everyone that has listened. Hopefully I'll be back next week with another guest. If not, it will just be me on my own. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. As always, I appreciate all of you and I will speak to you next week. Bye bye.